Glory be to God in the highest. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. It's another time to be blessed by the Lord. That was a beautiful, beautiful song there. Holy Ghost, you and I will change this world. It's time to soar with wings like eagle. I see eagles rising. I see eagles soaring. Wow, beautiful song. We're going to soar. I'm telling you, the remaining part of this year is for soaring. Tell your neighbor, the remaining part of this year is for soaring. We soar this year. We mount up with wings as eagles and we fly. We take a flight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome to church. Welcome to Digital Church. I'm so glad that you decided to join us. Thank you very much. God bless you. We're going to have a wonderful time today. I can tell you, please be expectant. The Lord is leading us in a topic that is youthful. Not youthful, but... Useful is not the word, that trending, yes. It's a trendy topic and it says Sorosuke. We're going to learn the Sorosuke skills in terms of negotiations that Nehemiah used. And we'll look at a couple of scriptures, and I believe that at the end, we'll have gained one or two things to improve our lives, to improve the strategies that with which we live our lives in the name of Jesus. Let's say a word of prayers before we go into the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word that gives light and understanding. Lord, I ask that you anoint these clays, these lips of clay, and let them speak the word of life this morning, that our lives will be blessed, our lives will be changed, that we'll indeed get the things that you have for us in life, that you will give us strategies to negotiate things that you want for us to achieve in life. Thank you, Father. Open our hearts, open our eyes to see the rhema, the life behind the word, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we've prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much. Please share the links with your contact. Tell them it is time for the word. Tell them the Lord is set to bless them. Tell them they need to get here. Share it on your WhatsApp status, share it on Twitter, share it across all social media platforms that yes, it's time to be blessed. It's time for the word. Hallelujah. Sorosuke, Nehemiah's negotiation skills. Sorosuke, Nehemiah's negotiation skills. Please turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 19. We are reading a couple of scriptures, about three or so, but let's start with Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 19. It says, I'm reading the Passion Translation. Now, Nehemiah 8:19, Passion Translation says, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see your unveiling, yearning to see my unveiling. Not just human beings now, the entire universe, including the stars and the moon, including the animals, including the atmosphere, every creature of God is standing on a tiptoe expecting your manifestation, expecting my unveiling, expecting to see what this guy carry. Ha! Tell your neighbor, I carry something. Oh, tell someone that as if you mean it. Say, I carry something. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. It's a bit of a long read. Verse 1 to 15. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 15. I'm reading the New Living Translation. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard at noon and again at 3 o'clock. He did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around asking, he asked them, why haven't you been working today? They replied, because no one hired us. The landowner told them, then go out and join the others in my vineyard. That evening, he told his foreman to call the workers and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. Just follow me. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed, wow, I love this translation. They assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. Let me pause there. I'll still continue. That's verse 10. I'll still continue. There's a saying that assumption is the weakest form of knowledge. So these guys started on the wrong track. They assumed they will be paid more. Verse 11. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner. Those who worked only 1 hour. Those people worked only 1 hour. And yet you paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all days in the scorching heat. He answered one of them. Friends, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Negotiation. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind unto others? So when I was younger, and several times definitely, when I read this parable, I feel like, the guy is unfair. How will you pay the people that worked for 8 hours the same money you're paying the people that worked for 1 hour? But look at their agreement at the beginning. When he called them at 6 o'clock in the morning, he said, he went out early one morning and hired workers in his vineyard. And he agreed to pay the normal day wage and he sent them out to work. That's all. The people that he hired at 6 o'clock, they had an agreement. I will pay you the normal day wage. At 9 o'clock, when he was passing, he told those ones, I will pay you what is fair. Negotiations. So, because I was looking at this guy is unfair. But as I grew older and I looked at some things and some of the experiences I've had, both in the place of work and in life, I realized that two people can be hired for the same role, the same job in some companies, and both of them are on two different salaries, depending on negotiation. Now, I have also noticed that Christians, especially fresh graduates or young graduates, tend to miss out on opportunities. One, because they lack the requisite negotiation skill, and two, because they refuse to sort of, in the name of being, in quotes, humble, in the name of, I don't want to look proud. Whereas the Bible says the children of this world are shrewder in their ways. Whereas the people of this world will go and sell themselves and shout about their skills. But you see children of God trying to cover it. We'll look at the scriptures and see how we can harness those skills, those negotiation skills. Now, the scripture that will be the canvas that I will paint today's sermon is actually Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 9. So we'll read the whole scripture and then we'll go straight into the word. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, I was serving the king his wine. I had never appeared sad in his presence. I had never appeared sad in his presence. Please note that. Verse 2. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified. But I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" Watch this. "With a prayer to the God of heaven." I replied, "If it pleases the king, and if you're pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried." The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, "How long will you be gone? When will you return?" After I told him how long I will be gone, the king agreed to my request. We'll go into this. The king agreed to his request. Verse 7. I also said to the king, How long will you be gone for? Where will you return? They've agreed. And the king agreed. Watch this. Watch the rest, okay? I also asked the king, "If it pleases the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. And please, give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber." Wait, you want to go and build your... Maybe you are the one that said you want to go and build your city. You are still asking the king for timber. "To give me timber, I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for this house, for a house for myself." He asked for housing allowance. He asked for security to pass through the gate. He still asked for housing allowance. And the king granted these requests. Why? Because the gracious hand of God was upon me. When I came to the governors of the provinces of the west of Euphrates, I delivered the king's letters unto them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officials and horsemen to protect me. This is also important, but we'll go into that in a bit. Wow. Okay. So culture at times, this is a truth or a fact, that culture at times beats people into submission. Culture beats people at times into submission. How you are raised. Some of us have been raised with so much poverty that you are even scared to dream of wealth. You are scared to press for surplus. Why? Because that culture or that upbringing has beaten us into submission. To now add on injury, insult upon injury, how do they say it? So add on to that, we live in a society where there are limited opportunities. It's a fact. For every one job, there are about 3,000 people, 3,000 graduates chasing it. So we live in a world whereby there are limited opportunities, or in a country, because some of us listening to me outside the country, outside Nigeria, maybe there are more opportunities in your country. But here in Nigeria, it is limited. So people are overly grateful for whatever opportunity they get. Any small thing. I was listening to radio, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, and the man was really, really angry, criticizing how would government be saying that they are giving us palliative. He was really angry about that word palliative. And if you look at it, palliative is to palliate or to just tell somebody. It's like, what is this in English? Permit me, non-Yoruba speakers. It's like egbi. What is egbi in English? Egbi is like something dirty. You understand? It's like, oh, you people are beggars. So you come and take palliative. So any small thing, we rush at it. Why? Because there are limited opportunities. So this is one fact. I will not deny this fact. So people are grateful for whatever opportunities they get. Now, another fact is that poorer people, or people from, or majority of people from poorer backgrounds, are worse at negotiating. So sometimes it's because of our background. This small one that you've just gotten, just collect it and humbly say thank you. In sales, there are ways or techniques of closing a deal. There is a technique, I've forgotten the particular name now, but there's a technique. I don't know, don't let me get, okay. Sales people, please, apologies if I'm giving out your trick. But there's a technique, one of the closing techniques, because once you see a difficult client, you're trying to close, that sale is not agreeing and things like that. So there's a style, I think it's called false close or marshmallow close. I've forgotten the exact name now. Now, in that style, because once the client sees that you're still selling, you're still trying to convince them, their defense is high. So once you see a client like that, his defense is high, he's rejecting everything, all the offers you're giving is rejecting. So just do as if he has won you. Do as if you finish the sale. Pack your suitcase, pack your bag, put all the laptop back into the bag. Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you. Maybe some other time we'll do business together. Head for the door. In their mind, their wall is relaxed. The defense is down. They feel like, wow, I've won him. So just get to the door, hold the handle of the door, do as if you're going out. Just turn back and say, please, sir, just for my to improve next time, what do you think I should have done better, or where do you feel I didn't perform well? Once he can tell you that is the exact objection you've not handled. So just come back, open your laptop, close the sale. You will close that sale. You will close that sale. I can tell you that for free. So we don't, because some of us from poorer background, we are afraid to use that technique in our negotiation, either for a job. If I say I don't want that, they will call and replace you. Or you're a contract, a business deal. I mean, there are deals that you just walk out or you walk away from. If it's not going to pay you, forget it. If it's not, if you feel that you deserve more, you walk away from those deals. But because opportunities are limited, like I said, we just take everything. So poorer people tend to be worse at negotiating. Why? Because of those of their background, because they just want to collect this small thing and be contented. I'm not saying we shouldn't be contented, but several researchers, scientists now, have found a correlation between poverty and poorer decision making. There's a correlation between poverty and poorer negotiation. But every nurture, every negative thing that poverty has brought into your life, I speak the word into it today. They shall be turned into positivity in Jesus' name. Amen. So nurture and not nature affect the way we see money. Nurture, not nature, affect the way we see money. If you've been brought up in an atmosphere whereby they see money as evil, or they see those people that are rich, they did blood money, it is corruption, they stole money. If you see a church that is having money, it is because they went to one abalis to add something. If that is your nurture, if that is how you were brought up, it will affect the way you see money. Because money is neutral. Money is neutral. It is what you do with money that is either positive or negative. I mean, this broadcast is brought to you with money. It costs money. I mean, the data you are using to watch it costs money. So money is neutral. So the same data you are using to watch this, some other person may be using to watch porn or watch how to commit robbery or whatever, or learn evil vices. So it's neutral. It is just whatever we use it for that matters. So Israelites were used as an example in Matthew chapter 20 in Matthew chapter 20, and also across history, Israelites worshipped God that gave them, they worshipped God at first when Moses was around. But Moses went up to the mountain, was taking too long, and now they built a calf to worship what God gave them. They started by worshipping God, maybe by fire, by force, according to Moses. Some of us were worshipping God before, were serving God before, very hot on campus, when we were still with our parents and all those things. Now God has relocated you, given you a better job, things are better. You are now serving what God gave you than serving God who gave you. The Israelites in the wilderness stopped worshiping God and started worshiping what God gave them by building a calf, rather than worship the one who gave them those stuffs. What are you doing at the moment that you are turning your worship away from the one who gave you the stuffs, and you're worshiping the stuffs? And whether you like it or not, Sars and Mars, ask God to show you your idols. So a lot of us have idols in our hearts. Ask God to show you your idols. And please write this down. Make your resource worship your source. Make your resource worship your source. Don't let don't worship your resource. Whatever God has given to you, use it to worship the Lord. Use it to worship your source. Giving is an act of worship. I was reading something by Reverend Victor Adeyemi over the weekend, or last week, I think. And he was talking about raising funds in the ministry. And he was saying at the early part of his ministry, he was kind of scared to raise funds in church because what will people say? People will think, oh, this pastor just wants to eat our money and things like that. So he shied away from teaching giving, from teaching or asking people to give towards a project. My brothers and my sister, giving is an act of worship. Except you don't belong to this family of God. Giving is part of our worship. So let that resources that you have, let it worship the one who gave you the resources. Hallelujah. So, and as believers, or as humans, not even believers, as human beings, we tend to love more the person who loves the giver more than the gifts. If you give your kids, your nephews, nieces, or someone, you give them a gift, you buy them a toy, you buy them biscuit, ice cream. Now imagine if that kid now likes the ice cream more than you. How will you feel? That is how some of us are making God to feel. We love the ice cream more than the God who gave us the ice cream. We love the bicycle. We love the sweets, the toys, more than the person that gave us. Whereas there's more from where that comes from. Make your resource worship your source. I worship God with my tithes. I worship God with my tithes. My profits are bowing to my purpose. My profits bow to my purpose. It's not the other way around. I don't start worshiping my prophets. My prophets themselves bow to my purpose. Hallelujah. And this is specifically for young people. Please write this down. Every young person listening to me, write this down. If you approach your future from an emotional perspective, if you approach your future from an emotional perspective rather than an intellectual one, you will stop this year from being what it ought to be. We are in the half time of the year now. This is the half mark of the year. We're in the half time now. If you approach your future from an emotional perspective rather than an intellectual one, you stop this year from being what it ought to be. Because all our cultural exposures and issues, they come from our emotions. All our cultural exposures, all our issues come from our emotions. So if you allow your emotions to guard or guide how you see your future, because if you've been raised in a poor home or in a poor background, or you are not as privileged as others, and you allow those to influence, to start affecting the decisions you make about your future, SARS and MARS, you will stop this year from being what it ought to be. Hardly will you be able to fulfill the mandate of God for your life. And that is why this word is so timely and exactly for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've talked about this, I think, 2 months ago. Why you use the word to suppress negative thoughts. You cast down imaginations, not cast out, because it takes time. So renewing your mind. Some of us have negative views about money. Some of us have negative views about wealth. And this may be possibly because of our experience with our parents. Maybe because of our experience with our culture. Maybe because you saw a rich man in your village or in your street, and the way the rich man was doing, and just looked at him and like, no. The person will just say, they don't want to be rich. Or, no, if this is how money is, I don't want to touch it. Emotions, cultures, renew your mind. Now, how will Joseph, Genesis chapter 41, a couple of famine, how will Joseph come out of a prison to stop famine? He came out of a prison. He was rushed hurriedly from a prison, and he gave a strategy to stop famine. How? His mind has never been a prisoner. Hi. His mind has never been a servant. His mind had always been the leader. His mind has always been the solution provider. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So no matter what your background is or what your condition is right now, let your mind see. One of the ways you can build up your mind is by reading good books. What are you watching? What are the things that is feeding your mind? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Your physical body may be in a disadvantaged position, but let your mind get out of that place. You may be working for someone now, but you know that in your mind, you're an entrepreneur. And if you're an entrepreneur, you will treat that other man's business like your own. Do you understand? You won't pay this. There's a saying in Yoruba that whether Oga sell or Oga no sell, my salary will complete. That's the transliteration. I hope I got it right. If you have that kind of mindset, if you start your own business, you fail. So your mindset will be towards towards being an entrepreneur, being a leader. Joseph, though in the prison, was always a leader in his head. Hallelujah. Now, God gave, watch this, oh, time will just not permit us to read Genesis chapter 41. God gave him, maybe we should, no, time will not permit us. If you look at it, God gave Joseph a strategy. God told him, he interpreted the dream. This means 7 years of famine. This means 7 years of plenty. That was the interpretation of the dream. That's all. He's not supposed to have done any other thing after that. He could share, wow, beautiful. Thank you for interpreting this dream. God bless you. We'll give you presidential pardon. He went further. He started giving solutions. Why not let us save during this time of plenty, so and so percentage, 30%. And that was where how this 30% company income tax or personal income tax comes to be, pay as you earn, comes to be. It was Joseph that introduced it. Do you understand? Why not let's save 30% of whatever these people earn? Then, in fact, it was there that 10% tithe also came in, because if you look at it, the Egyptian priest had 10% of the land and 10%, but that's extra biblical facts, book of Jasha, things like that. You get all those things there. But yes, but he used his mind. He negotiated. God gave him a strategy. God gave him the interpretation of the dream. But Joseph himself negotiated himself into the strategy. God gave him a strategy. He negotiated himself into the strategy. Maybe we should read it. Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41. What verse? Maybe we should read 33. Let's see if that will, I don't want us to waste much time because of our time. 33. Okay. Therefore, Pharaoh, when he finished telling him his dream, therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. God didn't tell him to say this now. Or maybe we should go. I think he has. Let's start from 28. 28, he has interpreted the dream there, I think. 28. This will happen just as I have described it. For God has revealed it to Pharaoh in advance, what he is about to do. So he has finished interpreting the dream. Now watch. 33. Pharaoh should find an intelligent man and put him in charge of all Egypt. Then Pharaoh should appoint supervisors over the land and let them collect 1/5, 20%. Not 30%, 20%. 1/5 of all the crops during the 7 good years, have them gather, blah, 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 until 36. And so that was the strategy. Let's now go to 45. 45 to 46. Genesis chapter 41, verse 45. 45 says, then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name, blah, blah, blah. She was the daughter of Potiphera, the priest of Oz. So Pharaoh took charge of the whole entire of the entire land of Egypt. And he was 30 years old when he began reigning in the court of blah, 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 blah. So he negotiated himself. He gave the God gave the interpretation of the dream, but he started saying, this is what you should now do now. Opened his mouth and talked. A number of us Christian, young Christians, they think you have the strategy. In fact, some of you don't step out to become leaders, and then someone just steps out. You realize that the person that stepped out, you are even more brilliant than the person. The things that the person is even saying, you have more solution than that person. Praise the Lord. So God is releasing to you strategies today, but you need to open your mouth. Open your mouth and negotiate yourself into that strategy. Some of us have seeds in our hearts. Some of us have seeds in our hands. Some of us have seeds in our minds. I pray for you today. Receive the courage to birth those seeds. Receive the courage to push those seeds into fruition in the name of Jesus. I said, receive the courage. Somebody say, I receive the courage. Somebody say, I receive the courage. Hallelujah. Amen. So like we read in Matthew chapter 20, the laborers that were first hired lacked negotiation skills. Simple. They lacked negotiation skills. There are people in our day and age today, like I said, that they can be employed on the same job with their colleagues but negotiate higher salaries. Yes. May the Lord give us both the insight and the foresight to properly negotiate and ask for these exploits in the name of Jesus. Receive the foresight, receive the insight in the name of Jesus. Oh, one of my mentors, amazing prophet, he got a landed property in Lagos. And how did he get that property? The people that were selling were not Christians, but they said, the children came together and said, their father that left the property for them said, this place must be sold to a house of God, to God. That property must be used for God. So the children wanted to sell. So several organizations, churches came to bid for the property. So, true life story. The children now said, okay, it is the person that can tell us the price we have in mind to sell this thing that we'll sell it to. Ah, what kind of test is this? Prophets just went to the Lord. He didn't even hear anything. So, you know, people came with bigger money and things like that. As I was about to enter the room to talk to them, the Lord just gave him a figure. Not a round figure. That is what... See, not 1 million or 2 million or 3 million or 2.5. Not a round figure like that. Like 3,755,600. Something like just... And he just came, went inside and said the figure. And all of them looked at themselves like, this is the person who sell it to. Foresight, insight. Receive in the name of Jesus. Insight, imoya, insight, the things that you just know, you just have answers. This people can go higher. This is the salary these guys have in mind. You will just know. I say receive insight in the name of Jesus. Receive insight in the name of Jesus. Receive insight and the courage to ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. So let's look at seven lessons. Seven lessons from Nehemiah's negotiations. Seven lessons from Nehemiah's negotiations. Before we close, number one, always wear a smile. As simple as this is, Nehemiah got the attention of the king because today he didn't smile. Do you understand? Which means you're not like this. Some of us, our default state. I said, John, maybe okay, when we were younger, though, maybe some of us used to do it as well. Just burn up, like we bore hard. You want to show that you are hard. What are you hiding for? Smile. Wear a smile. That the day that you are indeed worried and you are now frowning, they're like, oh, that's how he or she does. We know her. You know this man. Nothing's wrong with her. That's how the default face is. Wear a smile. There's a saying that smile is the cheapest advertisement you can have for God. Wear a smile. Just smile. Ah. So, number two. Lesson number two. Always learn to say a quick prayer. Even though he was scared. I'm not sure if he prepared to ask for that. Even though he was scared, the Bible says, I said a quick prayer. Always learn to say a quick prayer, no matter how many microseconds before taking a decision. He said a quick prayer. That's verse 4. Verse 7, number 3, lesson number 3, and that's verse 7. Always ask for more. Don't be satisfied with little. Let your hunger and thirst, let it increase. Reverend Sam Adeyemi said this long ago. I think I was still in university then when we did Digital Leadership Academy, 2005, long ago. He said something that bite more than you can chew. God will help you to chew the rest. Ah, see, it's like I was set on fire. Bite more than you can chew. Always ask for more. They've granted his first request. Verse 7, he said, however, I still need the book. Do you understand? If it was someone else, let me just keep quiet. This one that they even granted me, I didn't even know that they would grant me the leave. You are saying that someone should grant you leave. They granted you leave. You said they should give you escorts. They gave you escort. You said they should give you housing allowance. Again, I'm going for leave. Give me money to spend on the leave. And then give me money to buy a house on the well, I want the leave. And he said yes. Always learn to ask for more. See, the worst case scenario is that they will tell you no. And if they tell you no, you are not worse than you were before. Because before asking, it was already a no. I mean, you didn't have that thing. So if you ask, it's either they give you or they don't give you. If they don't give you, you are not worse than you were before. You didn't have it before. So learn to ask. Open your mouth and sorrow. Okay. Open your mouth and learn to ask more, even from God or from man. Always learn to ask for more. Lesson number four. Always think beyond the now. Always think beyond the now. Nehemiah didn't know that he will encounter the likes of Sambalat and Tobias. He asked for a letter for the governors of the provinces. What if he didn't ask for the letter? So if you read further from verse 10, in fact, Sambalat, immediately after that, this verse 9, from verse 10, Sambalat and Tobias started their attacks and criticism and antagonisms. So always think beyond the now. Don't you just, some people lose relationships because they're just thinking about now, today, me, myself, and I, now. Some people lose relationships because, what can you do for me in the future? I just lose that relationship. Some people lose contacts because you're always thinking about now. I don't need him. Always think beyond the now. And that is where foresight comes in. You know, I pray for you for insight to know things. Now, foresight to think beyond now. What would go wrong in the future? The grace for that foresight that sees beyond now, that eyesight that sees beyond now, receive in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's take a recap again. Lesson one, always wear a smile. You can say it along with me. Lesson two, always learn to say a quick prayer. Lesson three, always ask for more. Lesson four, always think beyond the now. Now let's go to lesson five. Know your craft. It helps your negotiations. That's verse 8. He knew the person that was in charge of the timbers in the forest close to his place, to Judah, that is going. Some of you, maybe the king doesn't even know that there is a forest that is there, but he knows his onions. If you know your job, if you know your craft, the things you do, you know what you do, it helps your negotiations. You are confident. So know your job. This is not just asking for anointing. Yes, the anointing will do its part, but you need to know have your figures as a businessman, SME, whatever. Your figures should be at your fingertips. Your figures should be here. Know your crafts. Lesson number six. Always acknowledge your help. Verse 8b. Lesson number five was verse 8a. Lesson number six, verse 8b. Always acknowledge your help. Nehemiah said it that all this was possible because of the hand of the Lord that was upon me. Acknowledge your help. The Bible says about not Manasseh, what's the name of the king now? I've forgotten. A king in Israel who was helped until he became very great. But when he became very great, his success got into his head. He became too big in his own eyes. May we not be big in our own eyes. May we not get to a point whereby we know, it is just me that is doing it. No. Acknowledge your help. Acknowledge God as your source. Acknowledge God as your help. Always acknowledge God as your help. And lesson number 7, last but not the least, learn to keep some of your visions in your heart. That's verse 13. We didn't read it in the text, but Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 13, Nehemiah said he went around the wall when he got to Judah. He went around the wall. He didn't tell anybody what he came to do. He went at night. He didn't talk. He didn't even know that Sambalat and Tobias are going to be a mighty stumbling block. But he kept all the... When they came to meet him, they were complaining to him. He kept the vision into his heart. Some of us, it is our mouth. It is our mouth that is killing us. You tell everybody, put it on Facebook, put it on WhatsApp status. Everybody knows the next move of your life. Everybody knows the things that just happened in your life, the things that will happen next. Keep your visions to your heart. Keep your vision to your heart. And the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. I pray for you that the spirit of timidity in your life is broken in the name of Jesus. The spirit of timidity in your life is broken in the name of Jesus. I speak into your life, receive the spirit of counsel in the name of Jesus. Receive the spirit of counsel in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive wisdom to know what part of your vision to share and not to share. Receive that discernment of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Receive help from God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Everybody come. Then they will pair themselves in twos. Look for someone that looks like they know how to drive out demons. You look for someone who's not too tough to drive out demons. And then you come, everybody, help.